Today's scripture comes from 1 Kings 19, 1 through 14. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard this, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think I've shared with the congregation a number of times what the mantra or what the one word that we hear at seminary all the time. Does anybody remember what that word is? It starts with an R. Relationship, okay? And relationship, you cannot have a good relationship without communicating. And which kind of reminds me of a story. There was an older woman from Texas, and she was getting kind of tired of the Texas winters. And even though in Texas it's a whole lot warmer than it is in Michigan, especially today, it would be around 50 or 60 degrees during the winter. And so she decided she was going to go down to Florida. So she did some research, and she found a community where she could rent one of those tiny homes. The only thing is, she found out that these tiny homes had been renovated by a gentleman that purchased this property. And the tiny homes had a living space, they had a sleeping space, they had a cooking space, but they didn't have a restroom. And so she found out that this gentleman, what he did, he built a state-of-the-art restroom in the center of this community, just minutes away from any of the small houses. And this restroom had the state-of-the-art showers and whirlpools and, of course, toilets and the such. And so she decided that, being that she was older and she would get up during the middle of the night a number of times to use the restroom, that she would ask him, she would write him a letter and ask him exactly how far the restroom was from her tiny house, the one that she was going to rent. So she wrote the letter, and in the letter she used the word toilet. And she thought, oh, that's kind of crass. I don't really like that word. So then she came up with the word bathroom commodes. And she rewrote the letter. And she looked at this and she's like, bathroom commodes, that's really crass. So she decided to abbreviate and just use BC for bathroom commodes. And she read the letter and she said, yeah, that sounds good. So she sent it to the gentleman, and the gentleman read the letter, and here was his reply. Oh, first I have to tell you that what he did was he questioned a number of people about, what do you think BC stands for? And he met a gentleman that rented one of these small homes, and his name was Jim, and he was from the South. And he said, well, all good Southerns know that BC stands for Baptist Church. So here was his response. Dear madam, I regret very much the delay in answering your letter, but now I take pleasure of informing you that the BC is located 9 miles north of the campsite and is capable of seating 250 people at one time. I do admit it's quite a distance away if you are in the habit of going regularly, but no doubt you will be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunches along and make a day of it. They usually arrive early and stay late. The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago. And it was so crowded we had to stand up the whole time we were there. It may interest you to know that right now there is a supper planned to raise money to buy more seats. They plan to hold the supper right in the middle of the BC so everyone can watch and talk about this great event. I would like to say it pains me very much not to be able to go more regularly, but it is surely not for desire or a lack of desire on my part. As we grow older, it seems to be more and more of an effort, especially in cold weather. If you decide to come down to the campground, perhaps I could go with you the first time you go, sit with you, and introduce you to all the other folks. This is really a friendly community. So, communication really does matter. Let's first of all define what communication means. It's the exchange of ideas and experience. So, how do we communicate with each other? Well, the typical way, especially in the Presbyterian Church, is speaking, listening, writing, and reading. But communication actually happens through all five of our senses. And I'm going to go through those five senses today. Now, the first sense we're going to use is the sense of sight. And I've got my red shoes on today. Does anybody remember from a few sermons ago what these red shoes symbolize? Well, I'll help you out just to refresh your memory. Marge and Noraine spoke when I did this sermon. And Noraine had his red shoes on. And Marge, I found out, had a pair of red shoes at home. Red shoes define stepping out of the box. And I think we all need to step out of the box occasionally. Okay, now we're going to do sound, and I think we have a sound clip for this one. Probably know that I'm a pastor of few words, so using something like this can stretch your sermon a bit. So think about that sound clip you just heard. What does that remind you of? Which denomination does that remind you of? Catholic, okay? Yes, that was a Gregorian chant, which Pope Gregory had commissioned to have written for the Catholic Church. And it was simply voices, all of them male voices, because of course at that time the congregation didn't sing. So we need to sense God sometimes speaks to us through sound, through music, through poetry, different ways. Okay, now the next sense I'm going to use is a sense of smell. And this one didn't work too well. But around the sanctuary, I have some containers of a scent. But I think this is such a big room that maybe you didn't notice it. But maybe somebody is super sensitive to scent. Does anybody smell? Could you tell me what it reminds you of? Yeah, a wintergreen, good. It's an evergreen smell, okay? So God, this sanctuary was built for us to enjoy nature with all of the glass looking out at the woods and such. So God can work through our senses in nature. Next is the sense of touch. Now, I don't want you to look at your clothing. I want you just to feel your clothing. And as I'm feeling this robe, I'm feeling some velvet and I'm feeling some wool. I can really feel the wool during the summer when we wear this robe. But you may feel something knit if you're wearing a sweater. You may feel something cottony, maybe something nylon. And then I saved the best for last, the sense of taste. Some of you, when you came into the sanctuary, you were offered up a candy. And if you want to, it's totally up to you. If you want to pop it in your mouth now, some of you may have ate it already. But even if you just look at it, what holiday does that candy remind you of? Christmas, sure. It's peppermint. And what says more about Christmas than a good candy cane? So why do we communicate? It's because we're all relational beings. We're wired that way to communicate. Now, next we have a clip of a 1962 movie called The Miracle Worker. And this is where Helen Keller is played by Patty Duke, and her teacher, Ann Sullivan, is played by Anne Bancroft. So we'll watch this clip. Well, I'm sure you'd like to watch the entire movie, but we showed that portion of it, and I have to thank Brian back there in the sound booth, because normally I would put both the sound clip and the movie clip on a memory card and give it to him, but it ended up that Brian did it through magic, so thank you, Brian. So let's take a look at today's text, verse by verse, and I'll go through that. So Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. Okay, so why was Jezebel so upset that he killed all her prophets? Well, she had spent all this money training her prophets, housing them and such, and here comes Elijah, and he sends his people to kill all of these prophets of the evil queen. And then verse 4, "But he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors.'" And Becky referred to this. When a person is depressed, and believe me, Elijah was depressed because he knew the queen, the evil queen, was after his life to kill him. Many times when people are depressed, they will rest or sleep. "Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Get up and eat.' He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again." Okay, so even though he was nourished, he was still depressed, so he lay down again. "The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, 'Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you.' He got up and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of the Lord. And at that place he came to a cave, and he spent the night there." So Elijah ate and drank, and then for 40 days had no food or water. He went through the wilderness and ended up at Mount Horeb. And if you remember from earlier readings, Mount Horeb was where Moses received the Ten Commandments. "The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, 'Get up and eat.'" Oh, I read that already. Okay. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And Elijah answered, 'I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away.'" So once again, as a depressed person, he's kind of stretching the truth. He's saying, "I'm the only good person left. I'm the only good prophet," which we know is not true. He said, and this is the angel, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in a fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence." So the one point I want to make in today's message is be prepared for God to pass by you and touch you. And it doesn't have to be in a loud voice. It can be in something, as some versions say, in a soft whisper, in a sheer whisper. And this version says, even in a sound of silence. "When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. There he came to a voice that said to him, 'What are you doing, Elijah?'" So here is God once again asking him, "Elijah, why are you hiding in this cave?" And Elijah said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I am alone, and they are seeking my life to take it away." So once again, we can see that Elijah is still not over this depression. He's still stretching the truth. So let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we need to step back from our busy lives and fully engage all of our senses, knowing that God will engage us through our senses if we only pay attention. Many times it is subtle, so we need to clear away the things that the world has blocking our view. That extra noise, the additional sense, all of the things that we come in contact with and touch, and the excessive tastes and flavors, seeking the way that God reaches out to us and communicates with us what we should do next. Amen.